Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah Ta'ala has, on this night of Jummah, again He has given us His blessings, His grace, and for His remembrance Allah has assembled us in His home. And regards to His Habib, His beloved, He announced from His blessed speech, through His blessed speech of His beloved, the meaning of it is such that when in the whole of the universe I distribute ni'mah, somebody I give rizq and wealth, somebody I give a child, somebody I give kingdoms, everything Allah Ta'ala distributes. But from all of these ni'mahs, put them all to one side, the greatest ni'mah is this, that I give a servant of mine the tawfiq to do my dhikr, the ability to remember me, subhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, this dhikr is what has caused the whole universe to be in existence. When dhikr disappears, then qiyamah will come and the dunya will disappear. Allah's karam, fadl, mercy, blessings, grace, such a great action and deed. If Allah bestows this and gives the ability to a human being to do this action of dhikr, then tell me how great a ni'mah is this. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Good deeds are many indeed. There are many good deeds that can be performed. They are untold, innumerous, via the Holy Prophet ﷺ, amal Allah Ta'ala has delivered to us and told us and educated us. And if Allah has informed us for this reason, that we are capable and Allah has given us the energy that we can do them. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives something to somebody, Allah is announcing in the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ is announcing it and telling the creation. Allah wouldn't tell a creation that cannot then implement the action, could He? Would He? No. All the amal Allah has mentioned for His servant, then Allah has obviously given us the tawfiq to implement them. He's instilled that chip. He's installed that chip into us that if a human being wants to do, he can do all of them. Tahajjud is not hard. Ishraq is not hard. Tahiyat is not hard. Talawah of Quran is not hard. To read Quran upon Quran is not hard. To do Hajj upon Hajj is not difficult. And in the world, we have these examples. That to do kathira dhikr is not difficult. It is not hard at all. Look, all night long after Isha, if a person sits to do dhikr after Isha, as Usman Damani rahmatullah, our forefather sheikh, he sits to do dhikr after Isha, and you can imagine it is the night in the winter and how long the nights are, and in the morning, at the time in the morning, at the time of Adhan, he is informed that, oh, it's Adhan time, and he's doing dhikr at that time. This means it's possible. If Allah Ta'ala said, do kathir dhikr, then it's possible. Many amal Allah has given to us, but it's us. You know, there's a couplet that we were ungrateful that over a few things, we are satisfied, just a few things. Allah Ta'ala has given us so many paths, but we have just selected a few of them. That's it. We don't want to go beyond that. We don't want to go beyond that. Our thoughts and our minds, our ideology, hoor, kasoor, jannah, high levels, and ask everyone will put their hands up, I want this. We think we're putting our hands up. That's it. What we're doing is enough and we've arrived there. No, Allah Ta'ala has given us dunya, the means, the routes, the paths. There are many routes, paths, do it and ask. Allah says, I'll give. But if we don't do anything, then what are we going to ask for? Tell me. And if you don't go to work, if you don't open your store and you do dua, Allah, give me food, bread, give me chapatis. Until today, this has never happened. But it's not impossible for Allah to do it like that. Allah Ta'ala, whatever He wants, He can give. But there are principles. Allah has established the world on principles and means. If we don't adopt the means, and after that we don't ask Allah and do dua to Allah, then how will we attain what we want? How? So many deeds Allah has given. So many deeds, there is no limit. We will lose count. They are all deeds to do and we should do them. Why? Because the date that's going to come tomorrow, very quickly, very close it is in our destiny, that day that will come tomorrow in our lives when we'll be sealed in the box. That time we'll find, oh no, oh no. Every second of my life I could have earned. And nothing is difficult. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is announcing, subhanallah, ajeeb, unique hadith. Yes, so this hadith has come to my mind according to the subject matter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hazrat bin Auf radiallahu anhu, or some other sahabi, I can't remember right now. And how did he say it? That he swore, he promised, he said, I swear by he in whose hands is my life. In other words, he swore by Allah, in the name of Allah. And he gave value and weight to this point. What's this point? That shall I tell you such a deed? Subhanallah. Amazing. Amazing. That there are so many actions we can do, as I said. There are so many actions. There are so many actions we could do. And just we can count them and select them one by one. Subhanallah. There are many masjids, but there's only one masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Isn't there? There's only one masjid, which is the masjid of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, shall I tell you such a thing that you will not get anywhere else? You'd only get it in my masjid. You could do it in many places, but here, there's no restriction. Allah Ta'ala is mentioning that what a fantastic action it is. What a great action it is. The Prophet ﷺ said that in my masjid, Masjid al-Nabwi, within my masjid, 1 month, to do itikaf, the thawab, it will be equivalent to that thawab, subhanallah. So can you imagine what will be that thawab? That 1 month in Masjid al-Nabwi to do itikaf, that's the equivalent thawab that will be attained. One such amal there is. And it is not difficult because the Prophet ﷺ is rahmatul lil alameen. He came to teach us how to earn Jannah. Allah has mentioned in the Quran, everything is possible. The Prophet came to teach us, to deliver to us the message, to teach us, to educate us. And what is the amal? That is equivalent to 1 month of itikaf in Masjid Nabawi. Think now, what will be that amal? Such a great thawab is being given that 1 month in Masjid Nabawi, if you do itikaf, you'll get the equivalent thawab of that. Equivalent thawab. What is the amal? That a person who is in need, if somebody fulfills his need, subhanallah. Subhanallah. Imagine that if any person fulfills the need of somebody else, then such a great thawab there is for that action, such a great thawab, as if within Masjid, he comes to Masjid Nabawi and does itikaf. That's the amount of reward. And we can now imagine the thawab, there's a 1 month itikaf, and that in Masjid Nabawi. And whose recommendation? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's recommendation. What does that mean? Whoever does this action, it will be such an itikaf that the thawab, leave the thawab, recommended, confirmed, he will get that thawab. Confirmed. Look at this. Yes, just like a common point, normal hadith, after the morning prayer, and a person, if he does dhikr, remains seated after fajr prayer until ishraq and does dhikr, he will get the thawab, one hajj, one umrah, three times, one hajj, one umrah, one hajj, one umrah, one hajj, one umrah, three times the Prophet ﷺ repeated this. So what's the problem? Don't we have the energy? Are we not capable to do this? We have the capability, we have the energy. If we look at the hadith, in this hadith, it's mentioned that if you fulfill the need of somebody, somebody's need, then I will say that the status of a mu'min is such that he can get so many itikaf rewards in the day that he cannot imagine by doing this deed. But you are pious, well. But if I look inside my own self, I don't speak about the day, I don't speak about today, if I look at my whole life, then maybe I'll be able to look at an opportunity where I fulfill somebody's need. I don't have time for myself. I don't even have time to fulfill my own needs. Everything comes back to me. I want to get this. I want to buy this. I want to attain that. I want to obtain this. I want to receive this. We're worried about ourselves. We are not even free from our own worries. And what an open playing field Allah has given. Not just for the Muslim. Not just the Muslim, that for a specific nation or for a specific deed. No, the whole world is an open playing field. Any person of any religious background, color, creed, and you fulfill his need. Subhanallah. And what's the need? The need hasn't been told you have to give 1,000 rupees or give this much or do this much. Whatever his need is at that time, even if he is in desperate need for a glass of water and you give him the glass of water, the whole reward you will have attained. The whole reward you will have attained. Forget about today, that if you in your life do this action, such a long life Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And look, you think that if, for example, you stand up and get a glass of water and give it to somebody who's in need, imagine. So few actions we've gathered and collated, we don't want to go beyond that. We think this is enough for us. That's it. I'm doing this, and every bayan and every action and every deed is this. But we don't look at this point here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an open playing field to the people of Iman. Opportunity, chances. But we are miserly, stingy people. Stingy human beings. Why? What's the reason for this? Subhanallah, can we not stand up? Can we not sit down? Can we not come to the masjid? One Hajj Umrah, the reward is being distributed in the morning. We can't come to the masjid. We can't do dhikr. Such a great, that maybe if you do Hajj Umrah every year, physically go, there's no guarantee it's accepted. But here, this is the stamp of approval. When you leave the masjid in the morning after doing dhikr, you'll get approved Hajj and Umrah. But we don't do it. Why? No, I don't have the energy. I'm not strong enough. That if we go towards another list of actions, if I just give the hint, that do these actions in your life, if you fulfill the need of this person, you will see everyone doing it. But we stated that look in the list of today, did you backbite? How many times did you backbite? How many times did you lie? How many times did you gossip monger and talk malicious? How much enmity did you instill in someone else's heart? How much did you speak of malice against someone and showing off and pride and hirs and want for dunya? Then I'll say in this day of today, we'll have such a long list. It will fill the sheet up with examples. There'll be no gap left. But we got strength to do all of these things. For these actions, we got a lot of strength and time. Imagine. So what we realize here is that shaitan has grabbed us. He's overtaken us. He has overwhelmed us. Totally, shaitan is in controlling such people that such a lengthy list of sins and such amal that are so easy to do for us in life, the good deeds, we cannot see them in our lives. Apart from these few things that we are satisfied upon, that this is nothing. Tell me. And if we see another example, that we don't have to go anywhere, we don't have to travel to Medina, we don't have to purchase a flight ticket, no money to be spent, nothing. But what is it? That deed, the thawab, the illumination, the nur is so much, that Masjid Nabawi, 1 month of he's doing Umrah, and he's in the masjid, what's he doing? Itikaf. Isolation in the masjid and coming back. When the Prophet ﷺ's blessed speech has told us this, then believe. If somebody fulfills the need of someone else, I swear by Allah and say this, that within him, he has the total illumination, as if he has done Umrah for a month and come back from Masjid Nabawi after doing itikaf and return. Subhanallah. Yeah, immediately he gets that nurani, that emotion, that feeling, because the Prophet ﷺ has given the guarantee. And he gets that full effect. He doesn't know what action he's done. What's he done? He has fulfilled the need of a human being. When he's dying, he sees that thawab Allah, such a great reward that I've so many itikaf to my name. Allah says, did you not hear the announcement with regards to the deed that you performed? You were just concentrating on a few actions in ibadat and worship. I wanted to give you so much, but you didn't accept my invitation. I gave you energy. I gave you health. I gave you the ability. Look, brothers, that don't reject this amal, that we don't try. So who doesn't have a need today? Who doesn't have a need? We have no need to go out to do this inside your homes. Look, your wife and children, they have needs. If you make this intention that today, this required of my child, I will fulfill the required of my wife, she has a need, I'll get this thawab. Then thawab, subhanallah, from morning till night, so many takafs to your name that you cannot imagine. You cannot imagine. But, purposely in our homes, we don't fulfill the needs. We say, no, do it yourself. You can do it yourself. I ain't got time. I'm not going to do it for you. You do it yourself. No, you do this action. Don't tell me to do it. Well, you'll tell them, give me some water, or can you bring this to me, etc. We'll tell them. But we don't see that if we can, then we can fulfill the need and requirement of that person who doesn't have a need for the reward. No one's saying to you, give me 100,000, then your needs will be fulfilled, or buy my house, your needs will be fulfilled. No, not such a big statement. Just seek and find that this person, go out, look for a friend's contacts, no restrictions, people you know, people you don't know, etc. But make a niyyah when you set out in the day that today in my life, today in this day, definitely once I'm going to help somebody out. Will you not find somebody in the whole day? Obviously Allah's sunnah ilahi is such, when a person makes an intention for a deed, Allah puts the means and the roots and the opportunities in front of you, they'll come suddenly. The opportunity. Immediately that chance will come, the opportunity. Just experience this point. For example, if you set forth to do an amal, a deed, Allah immediately will give you the chance. If you make a niyyah, that Allah, I am looking for somebody who's in need, who has an obstacle, who has a problem. I want to fulfill his need. I want to get the thawab of the umrah, the tikaf for you in the day. Various opportunities Allah will bestow that you can fulfill the need of XYZ. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's fine, isn't it? But we don't do the action even then. We don't think about it. We wake up in the morning. We don't think about the opportunities. We don't sit in the masjid and do dhikrullah. We are falling into the trap of sleepiness and doziness and lethargy. What's the reason for all of this? Why can't we do these actions, good deeds? So many amal Allah has given to us, and they're hard for us to do, difficult. And shaitani amal, he'll make us do all day, night, all night long. You will look at the phone and the screen and do shaitani actions. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., we won't get tired. Does anyone get tired doing wrong actions? Nobody gets tired. Then we'll cry, I don't know why I do these sins. I don't know why I'm sinning. There's a reason. This is a punishment. Punishment in this day and age is the biggest punishment. Remember this. Biggest punishment. In this day and age, in this era, this is the biggest punishment. What's the reason for it? What's the reason for it? That these feelings and emotions we have, that it's hard for us to do amal, good deeds, we leave them, we run away from them, we don't even think about them, we don't focus on them, we don't care about them. I have to die, go to the hereafter. I'm in desperate need for deeds and actions. And these small deeds, we should consider them as massive. And those actions which are severe sin, we don't dare to leave them. We attach them. There's a reason for everything, isn't there? Why is this the case today? Why are we upside down? Why are we on the flip side of everything? The reason for this, the Quran tells us, the Hadith tells us the reason. What's the reason? That when these emotions overtake a person, generate within the person, he goes towards negative, doesn't do positive actions. If we analyze today, there's no deed today in our life today that we fulfill someone's needs. We'll have gone to Makkah, Medina, we'll have done sujood, prostration about that. But inside, we have no tawfiq to do good deeds to help people. The reason for this is such that when these negative emotions generate and multiply within a person, then the Quran explains that, understand that human being, he should understand that his batin is extremely dirty and impure. When a person's internal self is impure, his batin is dirty, then good action he doesn't accept. He doesn't want to do them. There's a reason behind everything, brothers. There's a factor behind everything. We're not mad, are we? Jahil, illiterate. Everything we have, understanding, knowledge, ability, energy, wasail. But internally we are so dirty. The shayateen, shaitan and nafs have overtaken our batin, our inner state. We're full of dirt and impurities. We don't even think about doing. We don't even feel that in the morning, get up, do maraqabah, dhikr. A person so weak inside, totally... The nafs and shaitan have made us stingy inside. Stingy. So the meaning of the Quran and the hadith, at that time a person's arrived to which station? Internally he's totally broken, crumbled, dust, dirty, impure. Totally. So today in this day and age and era and generation we're living in, why is this disease spread so much? Because the line that we should uphold to purify the dirt, tazkiyah, the subject of tazkiyah, we have shunned it. We've left it, we've ignored it, we don't care about it, we're not interested in tazkiyah. Yes, in bayanat, durus, bayans, it may be mentioned that you should be cleaning yourself, purifying yourself, wash your heart, your qulub, there are internal diseases. For hours people may speak about this, but nobody says until today, have you heard? Have you heard until today that, for example, go to the doctor, go to the physician, and go to the physician and sit down and say, and he'll tell you that you've got this disease, malady, an illness, and you're sick, go, you're free. You'll say, huh? Doctor, if you tell me the sickness is a malady, then immediately the doctor gives the cure, the diagnosis with the cure. Yes, if there must be a cure, isn't it? For example, I say to you, you've got this disease, this deficiency, you can't pray salah, you know, doing this action, just like I've mentioned up to now. For example, amal, deeds, we hear about them, we know about them, we don't do these deeds. So obviously there's a problem inside that person, our batin is dirty, our inner state is dirty. And if I tell you, I give you a bayan, a speech, and you go home now. You know that you're dirty inside, has that cured us? No, it hasn't. We need to then go to the next step, that we are dirty inside, our batin is dirty inside. So the hukum is clean yourself, do tazkiyah, purify yourself inside. And how should we do that? The whole Quran prescribes how to do tazkiyah. How to clean our inner state. Subhanallah, there's a hadithi Jibreel tells us, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that he came to teach your deen today. He told us, asked us, what is Islam? What is Iman? And what is the third thing? What is Ihsan? Jibreel asked the Prophet, what is Ihsan? He asked us about Aqeedah, Amal, and the third question through which all the actions will be accepted, which is purification of the batin, Ihsan. So think for yourselves now. What is Ihsan? Today, in this day and age, the Prophet hadith, Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf, subhanallah, radiallahu anhu, his hadith that I remember now, that I couldn't remember at that time. So Ibn Auf radiallahu anhu states that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, ajib, unique hadith, if we look at it, that in my ummah I do not fear anything with regards to my ummah. But if I fear something, I have no fear that they will die hungry, they won't earn anything, they won't attain worldly success. I have no concern or fear with regards to my ummah for anything. But there's one factor that I fear for my ummah, which will be the source of their destruction, which will take them towards loss and failure, and which will give them failure, due to which they will be destroyed. And today we are in that state. And if we see around us today, the whole ummah, country beyond country, totally finished. And the Prophet ﷺ has told us the reason for this in Mishkat, this hadith is present. What is that factor? And that is linked to the batin, tazkiyah, purification, cleanliness. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ has given us the hint, there will be no tazkiyah that time. And the diseases will have been born, bred, generated, spread. There will be speeches, lengthy debates and conferences and Quran discussions. They will read the Quran. But they will read the Quran for the sake of reading, not for doing amal. That time will come in my ummah. They will listen. They will listen to the Quran, but they won't practice on the Quran. Whereas, despite the fact that Allah has given the Quran for amal, a car is given to you, for example. A Mercedes is given to you, that washes every day, look at it and polish it and shine it. But don't drive it. Don't drive it, you'll be told. Subhanallah. So are you achieving the objective of that car? You're walking by foot, you're getting wet in the rain, but you're not driving the car. You've got a car. Allah has given us Quran. Allah has given us the deen, but if you don't drive the car, then you have failed on the objectives on that car. The value of that car is diminished because you're not using it for its objectives. So the Quran, Allah has given us the Quran, His kitab. Allah says, do what you want with the Quran. You can wash the Quran. There are many colors of the Quran, different prints of the Quran, different types of the prints of Quran. There's no greater kitab than the Quran. No greater kitab than the Quran. But if the Quran is so great, Allah has given it to us, bestowed it to us, and the objective Allah has told us of the Quran, just like you're given a car or a motor vehicle, that this Mercedes I'm giving to you so you can drive it, have journeys in the Quran. Let's say in the Quran I'm giving to you for this purpose, that is beautiful, you can recite it, melodious, and you'll feel enjoyment and looking at it, and the nice print. But all these things are secondary, tertiary. But at that time you'll attain the objective of the Quran. When the objective prime of the Quran is, you must do amal on the Quran. Practice the Quran. Mishkat hadith. when the Quran says haram, accept it, that thing is haram. When the Quran says this is lawful halal, accept it as lawful. When then the ahkams come, the orders come, obey the orders, the instructions. Whoever takes the Quran like this, then the whole effect and the color of the Quran will come into that person's life. The ulama ikram, the respected scholars, have told us this. The Quran, when it rubs off onto a person, won't be due to speeches, won't be due to durus, it'll be due to amal, deeds, that person's life. Every second he measures and analyzes that what's the hukum of the Quran now? What's it saying now? What should I do now? Allah has made so easy, such ulama ikram, respected scholars, Allah sent to the world, that we say Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, such great personalities, that they distributed the great colors of the Quran, the effect of the Quran to the ummah. Amal, 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 amal. All amal you will see come from the Quran. So this is the message of the Quran. That we have, astaghfirullah, ignored the amal of the Quran today, and that's why Rasulullah said that the diseases will be widespread in the ummah, there will be no tazkiyah, no purification of the nafs and the inner state, and we will forget all the orders of the Quran. So the Prophet ﷺ said that the root cause of destruction of my ummah will be what? The Prophet ﷺ said that what will cause the destruction of my ummah? Today our destruction, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us the solution. Because of the dirt and impurities in our batin. Because that the Prophet ushered us towards one disease of the batin, that the previous nations, they were destroyed due to this. What a big example. All the previous nations, they failed. And they arrived to the hal because they left, they shunned the purification of their batin. And the diseases then came from them. Taurat, Injil, Zabur, the previous scriptures. They would just recite them but do no amal on them, just like the Quran I'm reciting, but I don't practice on this. Then, for example, I'm taking interest, I'm immodest, I'm lying, I'm backbiting, I'm doing gossip, mongering. All of the sins of the Quran are in my life, but I'm just reading it, repeating it. Do you understand what I'm saying, brothers? I'm just repeating the Quran, reading the Quran, reciting the Quran. There is enjoyment in that. But shaitan has given us such a bitter pill that this disease has come widespread in the ummah, that we don't wash and purify our batin, we don't do tazkiyah, that all of the deen's true effect has worn away. So all the previous nations, previous ummahs, they were destroyed due to this purpose, due to this reason. Because sins generated that time, shirk and mushrikeen, you'll see them in the ummah, and shirk will be practiced, and people will do these things when their batin is dirty. And a batin is dirty when you don't clean your internal self, then obviously when you don't clean something, it becomes impure. For example, if you don't polish something, clean something, automatically it'll become dirty and impure. Isn't it? If your house inside, you see, you don't do vacuum cleaning, you don't hoover it, then the sight of that home changes. 2-3 days, the room you sit, you drink tea, eat food. If you don't clean it, 2-3 days, you see spiders and ants and insects, etc. So internally, if Allah Ta'ala has given us the deen, and where shaitan comes and sits inside and flows within us, we don't clean it, then will sicknesses not spread within us? Of course they will. The Prophet ﷺ said, in that qawm, that nation whose batin in a state, their hearts and their nafs has become so dirty, shirk has come, immodesty has come, sin has come. So when a nation is destroyed, when a human being is destroyed, when an individual is destroyed, when he changes the color of his deen, when he accepts the false deen as the true deen, like today we do. In the masjids, we don't have that true effect of the deen. The effect of the Quran is not within our lives. The effect of the salah is not present in our lives. A few actions we have put in our life today, and we think that's enough for us. And we are satisfied on that. And we've made an ajeeb, weird deen today in the world. Reason? Because we have shunned that great subject of the deen, of tazkiyah, purification, and we shun that, we don't accept them, we just do actions according to our desires, we don't understand the principles of the deen, we don't behave according to the deen, because tazkiyah, brothers, is a very, very critical subject of the deen. That purifying our inner state of hearts. So the previous qawm that have passed, this is Mishkat Hadith I'm reciting. The previous nations, they failed because their batin, they destroyed it. And that dirt, that sin that generated with them. And that same sin will come within my ummah, said the Prophet. And due to that, we're destroyed. And that's in front of us today. The whole ummah today. You know all these things? Corona, we're complaining, everything. Stop. Everything is bi-idhnillah. Not a leaf can fall or sway from a tree without Allah's permission. So where did coronavirus come from? Tell me. Where did that coronavirus give restrictions in the world today? One germ, one variant, that diminished and the next variant came. Maybe you could say people are making it, but Allah Ta'ala, He can instill the shaitani thought in the minds of people, go and destroy the world, then the human being, he destroys the world and he creates something, maybe genetically that destroys the world. We don't know if someone did this or if it came automatically or it came from here or there. Everything is bi-idhnillah. We don't have an idea of the theory behind it. Everything is due to Allah Ta'ala's permission that through this, these germs and bacteria and disease, I will create such a bacteria and disease. And it put into their minds that due to that, the people are passing away. So we don't need to argue this nation, it came from that country, it generated from that country, it spread from it. It's Allah who's the creator, He's upset with us. Allah is unhappy with us. And why is Allah unhappy with us? Because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in my ummah, that action is spread that was present within previous ummas. And why is that? When tazkiyah disappears and the diseases come, and Allah's Nabi mentioned one disease. What is that disease? Hirs. Greed. Greediness. What is greed? Mal and wealth and dunya. Lying via fraud, via wrong actions. All we want to do is money should come to my hands. Through interest and sood and riba and false statements, false signatures, lying, defrauding other people, pickpotting others to earn people, making such methods to earn money that you cannot imagine. Why? Because inside there's dirt and we think it's jais. And that with that money, with that wealth, with the money, then we'll do ibadah. We will worship, we'll show big actions. I'm this, I'm pious, I'm ibad, I'm doing ibadah, worship. And inside them, due to that greed and selfishness, all their earning will be haram beyond haram. Lying, fraud, cheating. The greed of dunya will overtake the person. Dunya, dunya, dunya. If we look around us today, that within us, in our Islamic countries, what is the hal? Due to greed, everyone's trapped in greed, stuck in greed. Look at our own personal lives. This is greed that brings a person to this situation. From morning until evening. Greed, selfishness, dunya, wealth, amassing dunya. That's all we've got. What's this? Why is this? Because our batini, internal diseases, the dunya is being destroyed today due to batini, internal diseases. There's no tazkiyah. Soon as a person starts tazkiyah, alhamdulillah, and he washes himself within, what will happen? All of these things, you'll start to dislike the wrong things. And then, that person, that human being, within him, the emotions will be developed and generated. See, for example, if you clean a house today, then the house looks bright and warm and nice. So when you clean your heart in that way and method, the way the Quran is prescribed, that clean your hearts in this way. Clean your nafs in this way. Clean your nafs in this way. Clean your hearts and wash them in this way. Is there anyone today who is implementing this advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tell me. If we go to a sheikh and become a murid or a student, then the objective is not that I want to wash myself or purify myself. Peer sahab doesn't have the objective, nor does the murid have the objective. Everyone's got their own agenda and own objectives and targets. Peer sahab says, no, mashallah, just do dhikr, my student, and you'll get thawab for this. And you'll get thawab. Just for earning thawab, we do actions. But at least look at the effects of what we're doing. Look at the azab, the punishments of our sins. How can you earn thawab through a deed of dhikr when your heart and batin is dirty? Tell me. How can we? Doesn't matter how much you try to clean the batin. The murid, the sheikh, he says, oh, I need that student as my murid. So I become famous that these people are my students. Yes? And I need this teacher because I want to be famous. And peer, to become a peer is greed as well. To become a murid is greed as well. If you don't see the real effect of having a teacher, that the color of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah is coming into your life. Your feelings have changed. Your lifestyles has changed. That you have the desire and the greed to do good deeds now. Then consider that my maqsad, my objective is successful. I've gone to the right peer, to the right sheikh. My zahir and my batin both are changing. Then we can say, subhanallah, subhanallah. Then we'll realize that we have embarked on the right path. We don't go to the sheikh for this. Oh, recite this much thawab, do this action, this much thawab, do these deeds. And put everything to the side. Thawab will come at that time when your batin is reformed and corrected. For example, in this room, there's a crack or there's a damp air, there's a leak air, and you say, oh, this is very easy cure. Just wallpaper and paint over it. Then after a few months, the damp will come, then you wallpaper again and paint again. Have you cured the root cause? No. The right decorator and builder will say, let's first get rid of the damp, let's get rid of the cracks, let's get rid of this crumble and dust, let's repair it properly, then we can wallpaper and paint over it. So the real objective of being a peer or having a murid is tazkiyah, tafsiyah, that I should go to the teacher with this intention, that all my internal sicknesses and diseases and sins, I should get rid of them. Then just to say subhanallah once is enough. From the hadith, it says the person with a pure heart says subhanallah, then his mizan, his scale of deeds is half full just by one subhanallah. Because you've learned the adab of how to do dhikr. I say that, for example, we've got so many deeds today in our book of deeds and our scale that will take us to Jahannam. So where should we start from? First, clean yourself from within. Purify from that. Shaitan says, no, thawab, this thawab, that thawab, stay in the masjid this long, read this much Quran, thawab, thawab, you'll get that time when inside your dirts again, you're lying, ghibat, backbiting, eating haram, greed of the dunya is stuck inside you. The Prophet said that the greed of the world is trapped within you, sealed within you. After one house, another house, this settee, this sofa, this item, this dunya, you're not satisfied from anything in the world. So what thawab are you talking about? If you got greed of the dunya stuck inside you. My brothers, my words are like this. Thawab, I can make you count. Thawab upon thawab. I can give the whole list of thawab. Day and night. Thawab, thawab, thawab. Do this, do this, do this. Thawab. If I say, I'm speaking to you, you're listening, this thawab. Thawab, it will be at that time, Allah is khabir, basir, that He wants everything you're doing. Allah is listening. Allah says, how dare you speak? That you give people words and empty words and you just teach them how to earn dunya. I went to Hazrat Sahab, look at my sheikh, what he taught me. Hazrat Sahab's guftugu, his words, his speeches, these are the true walis of Allah, who teach you the real object of life. I went like a dirty spider. He taught me in the name of Allah, instilled it in my heart, and look at the nasiha of my sheikh, his advice. Until today it's inscribed in my head. He said, Faruqi Sahab, I'm telling you the discussion, the words of the Wali Allah. He said, Faruqi Sahab, this is very valuable name of Allah you've attained. Sat on the straw mat, dusty straw mat, my sheikh. I said, valuable? I've come from London, England, with dunya. Subhanallah. That from London, UK. He said, oh, you come from UK? Oh, there. He didn't ask me these things. Look at his words. He didn't ask me about the UK, what's there, what's not there, etc. He gave me the great prescription. Subhanallah. In the world, if you say I'm from the UK, you can earn a masses of dunya. But my Hazrat, my Sheikh said to me that Faruqi is a very valuable name you have learnt. How valuable is this? Subhanallah. The name of Allah that you have now been taught in your heart. This name, if you protect it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate you just like His name is elevated. But, look at His Nasiya, be careful of one thing. Don't run after the greed of dunya. Faruqi Sahab, just like the Wali of Allah, just like the Prophet ﷺ spoke to his Sahaba, the Wali Allah speaks to the whole of mankind. This one sentence, I shared this with my murid. In the first sitting, the Shaykh, he shared this statement with his murid, me, in the first sitting. He knew that my murid will not get destroyed by any other action, but he'll get destroyed by the greed of the world. You've learned the name of Allah. Great, great teaching I've given to you today, O my student, said my Hazrat. Great gift you're taking back, but there's one condition, subhanallah. There's one condition of this name, that don't run after the greed of the dunya due to this name. Or using this name. I should have this many murids, this many students, big khanka, and I should have fame and glory and titles and lengthy names. Hazrat Sahab said, if you have this desire in your heart, then the next statement, listen. He said, if you have this desire of dunya for fame and glory in achieving the world, then subhanallah, then everything of yours will be destroyed. Everything you will waste. That's the end of the story, end of the teaching. After this, what else does a peer and a murid need? One nasiha. And if I'm a deceptor and a liar, all life long, I could have earned the dunya through greed. Such a valuable name of Allah, Hazrat Sahab told me. So Allah gave me guarantee that if you are sincere, don't run after dunya, Allah will elevate to every murid of the Naqshbandi silsila when he comes and takes bayah from his teacher, alhamdulillah. That first sitting, the first sobat, the first teaching, it revives the heart and life of that student. So, but people say, what's happened? What did you get from Hazab? What did he say to you? What did you learn? How did you change? Where did you learn the deen from? What can I tell you about Hazab? The Naqshbandi silsila has such a great effect. This is the silsila of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. This is the order of Abu Bakr Siddiq, the order of Sobat. This is not the order of taqreers and speeches and technical bayans and points and this and grammar. Hazab Said said to me, that person who cannot take the benefit from his sheikh in silence, then he cannot take benefit from his sheikh and anything else in verbal speeches. This is the silsila, order of silence. In this order, silsila, you get fares from silence. Close your eyes and pull on the fares from your teacher. But there should be a compatibility, there should be a connection between the sheikh and the student. So I was asked, was it that people come to you in their droves? So many. When I got the sobat, the people was amazed when I came back. This dirty man, simple man, he's come back. That time, imama, sunnah, deen spreading. What is it that you tell people? People ask me. What is it? I said, magic. I don't do magic. There's no magic. That people said, where's this magic? But I said, this magic was taught to us by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a magic that recite Allah's name, teach it, recite it, and everyone will change, my brothers. This is the effect. This dunya is amazed and shocked, dumbfounded, but it's nothing to be dumbfounded about. This is our deen that teaches us this. Be sincere, do tazkiyah, purify your heart, clean your heart. See how the dunya around you changes. People, you'll influence them. Don't you feel that? Do you want to see people in hardship and difficulty and you don't help them? One poor soul stood outside your home. He has no food, no one to ask for him, to help him. He's in the rain. You're driving past him in the rain. You don't ask him, where's he going? Give him a lift, drop him off. No. Run around here, dunya, need to earn, work. Thousands of opportunities you'll get to do great, decent things. But you want people to serve you, help you. You want people to give you money and help you, assist you. But you can't even have a second to help somebody else out when they are desperately in need. So tazkiyah starts from this point and it ends on this point. Remember this, tazkiyah. Otherwise you'll be zero, minus 0.000 in the hereafter, your amal. Where does deen start? In this masjid, in the corner of the masjid, you tazkiyah, you are told this one, this is the real, this is not magic, dhikr in the morning till ishraq, it's not piri, muridi, magic, and transfer. It's the affairs of my sheikh who told me, keep on reciting Allah's name and you will continue to be elevated in this world. Now if you waste this teaching or stamp on it or rub it away, but in the hereafter Allah will ask you, the masjid I gave you, and you came to the halaqa, the gathering, for your own objectives, but I gave you the gathering of dhikr in the masjid, so all your deeds are elevated. In that masjid where you read Quran, you should be elevated. The dar should be there. Everything should be accepted due to this amal of dhikr Allah that I gave to you. And you said, I ain't got time for it. I can't be bothered. This is tazkiyah. Subhanallah. Do you understand my words, what I'm trying to tell you? So I understand the real disease within us. Why is the dunya destroyed today? Why is the ummah destroyed today? There'll be bigger coronas to come after this. Destruction will multiply. More hardships will come. Make as many vaccines as you can and make more. And Allah says, somebody said to me today that somebody had a vaccine and he was satisfied after that, mashallah. Very happy. After 2 weeks after that, he's upside down due to coronavirus, that he's lying down in hospital and he's in I'm in a very bad state. Do dua for me. So where's the vaccine gone now? Tell me, where's the vaccine gone? 2 weeks later, he's ill. And just like we wear, for example, the scarf or the mask, etc., we wear these as a precaution. But is there any guarantee that you will be safe from corona? If anyone says that I'll be safe from coronavirus with the mask or the scarf, this is shirk. But why do we wear the scarf? The Prophet ﷺ said that adopt the means and ask from Allah. That's why we take the restrictions and precaution. Because for example, if you don't, you'll have pride. I don't need to wear a mask. I don't need to wear a scarf. I don't need to do social distancing. I don't need restrictions, because you'll be then haughty and pride that I don't need to do these things. I'm saved. Those people whose batils are weak, They have so much fear from Allah, so much fear from Allah, that Allah, I am achieved, I am a mujrim. But that person, he will say, Allah, I am the biggest sinner. The sincere person, he will say, Allah, that this sickness, disease, maybe I'm in danger. Allah, I'll adopt all the restrictions and follow all the precautions. And Allah ask you, I do dua that Allah, you save me. So I'm not criticizing anybody who doesn't do this, but we need to adopt the means. Allah's given us the means. We need to follow the rules and the restrictions. But that doesn't mean that, for example, these will save us. No, we have to ask Allah to save us. Yes? Now maybe Allah will give me another disease, another sickness. So don't say that, oh, I used to wear the scarf, or the mask, and I still got the disease. Why wasn't I saved? No, because we have done something against the sunnah. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that there are ways to save yourself from all of the illnesses. Allah says, I give this azab, this punishment, and I've told you that you can protect yourself from this disease. There's a dua that we're doing to Allah. Allah save us. Ya Allah save us. By adopting social distancing and the preventative measures, we are doing a dua that Allah save us from this. Yes, but not to do this is takabbur and pride, and this is the biggest disease within us. So submit yourself, be sincere, and have ajazi. So my brothers, coming back to what I was saying, the discussion point that we were having is that the real point we need to understand is that we need to focus on our batin and a state, the biggest disease. Just like we say, the stomach. The stomach pain is the root cause of all diseases, isn't it? So all physical illnesses, the root cause is the stomach. In the same way, the root cause of all spiritual diseases is what? Is what? Is the batin, the inner state, the nafs. And we have to do tazkiyah. That's why the Prophet said all previous ummas were destroyed because they left tazkiyah, purifying the heart and the batin. And they went to another direction, another. So today when you go to a wali Allah, friend of Allah, if you accept yourself as a student, as the murid, then we should have this sincerity and intention that I want to get rid of the inner diseases, illnesses, and the cure, the prescription that's given to you. You should follow that advice of the sheikh. And carry on and carry on. Don't get tired. This is the only way. There's no other way. Shaitan will come and say to you, don't do this, don't go to the sheikh, I don't enjoy it, I don't feel like it. You don't need enjoyment, you don't need visions, you don't need dreams, you don't need karamat, you don't need thawab, you just need one thing. Has lying come out of your life? Has backbiting come out of your life? Has greed of wealth come out of your life? Do you start to enjoy praying salah? Do you start to enjoy now reciting Quran? Then consider, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, your tazkiyah is successful beyond successful. We have no need for kashf or dreams or visions or miracles, because I have come to the reality of life now. That is a waste of life. That is a waste of life where I'm looking for visions and dreams and miracles. I've come to the real life now. But for this you have to work hard. It doesn't come from speech. I just talk about it all day long. This much thawab, do this and do that. Dhikr and this and that. Don't just talk about it. You have to come into the playing field and play. You have to come into the playing field and play and work hard and make effort. Your heart should say that I need to fulfill someone's needs, help someone, assist someone. Greed will come out of your heart. Greed for the dunya will come out of your heart. May Allah Ta'ala give to all of us the tawfiq, the ability, that before we die, we can focus on our batin and clean our batin, so that we can get the greatest reward for all the deeds after doing tazkiyah and purification and cleaning our batin. And if Juma's coming, what a great opportunity Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Isn't Juma coming tomorrow? So Juma's greatest preparation is what? Tell me. What's the greatest preparation for Jummah? And how many people you see tomorrow? There'll be Jummah. People will come to the masjid. There'll be announcement, what I'm saying now. Tomorrow you see, what's the greatest preparation for Jummah? Tell me. That Jummah who comes to pray salah, he should come in the form of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. His labas should be according to the sunnah. The Holy Prophet says when he come for Jummah, his labas mubarak, blessed labas. And to the hadith has gone to this detail, inshallah. And all the hadith will come to very soon. You will see this hadith. It would happen that the Prophet, if he didn't have imama, then he would tie strips of cloth onto his blessed head. So the effect of the imam was visible. This is the preparation of the Prophet ﷺ. Libas. And here the libas is weird. Someone's wearing this libas, these clothes, those clothes, this color, that color. Hundreds of different libas and designs and styles. The Prophet said, "Man tashabba biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Massive hadith. That qawm who you imitate, you will be with them. Who is saying this? But who wants to listen? Nobody. Nobody wants to listen. Tell me, how we are wasting Jummah. Every action of the sunnah multiplies the Jummah reward 70 times. One Jummah. stated the angels are standing at the doors of the masjid, those who come with imam at the head, they salam upon you who's wearing imam. But who can wear the imam? Only he who does tazkiyah, who's the awareness, I want to earn the thawab. Do I consider imam a minor insignificant? No way, impossible. It's the greatest of action. Because he's done tazkiyah, the love's coming to his heart. But when you don't do tazkiyah, dirt, oh, there's no need, I can just wear topi. Topi's enough, isn't it? You can just do that. We don't need to wear imam. Why are you saying wear imam, do the imam? Everyone else, no one else is wearing imam. And we waste the opportunity. Labas have come into our masjid. Man tashabba biqawmin fahuminam. You'll see it everywhere. Ajib labas, different styles. Just thawab, thawab. Where will thawab come from? Where will thawab come from? Which jummah, which words are you talking about? The real crux of the matter is that focus the batin. Focus on the inner self. Wash it, clean it. If your batin is clean, then your jummah will be performed the way of the Prophet. His beautiful sunnahs will be in your life. You'll prepare the same way. You'll do ghusl the same way. You'll put the surma on the same way. The scent on the same way. The labas will be the same way. And the Prophet ﷺ's labas that he liked, you will like. There's no fatwa on this. I'm not saying compulsory, wajib. No. Not such a case. Allah is given a free, open playing field. Whoever is mine will look like mine. I don't force anyone, said the Prophet. I don't force on it. Faraiz, I gave what had to be given. But my sunnah, the color is such that whatever you love, it will pull you to my sunnah. Whoever you love, it will pull you to my sunnah. These are the bargains, the transactions. No hadith, is it sunnah, wajib, sunnah muakkada, or ghair muakkada? Allah's the Prophet's deen has no categories and grades. Did the Prophet do it? I will do it. This is the style of the Sabahs. Abdullah bin Umar was his lifestyle. He did not like things that the Prophet did not like. He loved those things that the Prophet liked. When someone asked him, why do you do this? Straight answer. Why are you doing this? Because the Prophet did it. Why don't you do this? Because the Prophet didn't do this. Subhanallah. That's the definition of life. That's when does that come in a moment? When his batin is clean, automatically you will have these emotions, feelings. Today, why don't we have these emotions, feelings? Oh, you can pray like this. Oh, this is enough. This is enough. I don't need to do this. Why do we keep on uttering these baseless statements today? Because our batin are dirty. Our inner state is dirty. Such scars on our batin. Such dirt and bad thing. Oh, we don't care about these things. In the grave, my friends will hear, will be looking for Jannah. Then will when the shoes are beaten on us. Look, doesn't matter how much a person does sins, they will go with them into the grave. Lying will go with us into the grave. Backbiting will go with us into the grave. And killing off the sunnahs will go with us into the grave. Munafiqat will go with us into the grave. Hypocrisy upon hypocrisy will go with us into the grave. Discarding the sunnah will go with us into the grave. Doing something, showing something else. Being something inside and showing something outside. This will all come into the grave. Everything outside will stay here. Everything inside will come and will be presented as azab in the grave. Punishment in the grave. These things on the top of, on the physical things will stay here. So why don't we understand today? Why don't we start to wash our batin today? Become human beings and prepare properly for the grave. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Batin tariqah is this. The method to clean the batin is this. Allah Ta'ala has prescribed the tariqah to us. The best way to clean the batin, Allah has mentioned in the Quran Himself. Yes, ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu qulu ma sadiqeen. Fear Allah, go to the people who know. Qulu ma sadiqeen, the sadiq, the sidq. Allah has given the prescription. The best way to clean your batin, your heart, have friendship with that person who already has embarked on the path and has passed the test. Taqwa will pull on you. You will pull on the taqwa then. So tell me, the greatest method to do purification of the batin is sohbat, company of the pious. And this is Allah's selection. Allah says, you need to find the pious person. And the sign of the pious person, I'll tell you, sign number one of the wali Allah is such that when he reads the Quran, he will practice the Quran. Yes, won't be hovering in his neck where he's reciting. The biggest sign of the wali Allah is the Quran he recites, he practices that Quran. And that person who does amal on the Quran, I sit on the prayer mat and I guarantee to you, that human being who does amal on the Quran, his first sign is such that he has filled his life, A to Z of the sunnah. Every action of his life is the sunnah. Simple deen prescription. Sign one, Quran. He speaks the Quran. Sign two, he practices the sunnah A to Z. When you see such a person, whatever he recites from the Quran, he does alam on that. He tries his best to practice the Quran. And what's the physical sign that he's practicing the Quran? When you see that his lifestyle A to Z, every footstep of his life is according to the sunnah. When you see this in a person, as Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha said, immediately was asked, take his hand straight away, don't look for kashf, visions, karamat, miracles, du'as, etc. Get hold of his hand straight away, stick yourself to him until death, travel with that person in your life. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Then what will happen? Unu ma'as-sadiqeen. Then they said, don't worry, this is my guarantee. Allah says, sadiqeen, you stick to them, and Allah says, I will allow their lifestyle to drop off to you. You will speak the truth like that, you'll read the Quran like that, you'll recite the Quran like that, you'll do amal on the Quran like that, and your amal will be visible on the sunnah in your body, in your lifestyle, in your every action, the sunnah will be visible. Subhanallah. You won't need to make noise and clamor. You won't be ashamed to practice the sunnah. Doesn't matter what corner of the world you're in. Doesn't matter if thousands of people are upset with you. Hundreds of thousands are upset with you. For you don't care. Where is this written? Why is this necessary? Why is that person not doing it? He said this. This scholar said this. No, totally you won't care about those utterances. When you start to practice the Quran, then you have no care about what's happening around you. This is tazkiyah. This is purification. So first make friendship with such a person who's like this. Yes, and after that you will start to do mujahada, work hard. After taking the hand of such a great person like this, the mujahada starts in the life. You have to make effort. Hard work. What's the hard work of that murid? Then every action he will do according to Sharia. What Sharia says is right. No, this I can't do this. I have to compromise here. It's too difficult. These people say I can do this. I can leave this. Why should I do this? Oh, you can do what you want if you want. But the Shaykh has given you the greatest assistance, dhikrullah, that makes every hardship easy. You do dhikr kathir in high quantity, whatever your Shaykh says do, wherever you see obstacle, barrier, nafs makes you force through it, do dhikr more, 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 and that I will do this right and I will leave this wrong. It's the nafs that's destroying me. I'll do dhikr kathir morning and night because there's no limit to dhikrullah. Wherever you get stuck and you see a barrier and you don't do amal on what your Shaykh has told you is right and wrong, you don't need to run after your Shaykh and ask. Shaykh doesn't need to chase you. You can take haram, sood, riba. His job's finished. He has guided you. He has told you what's right and wrong. He's told you the name of Allah. He's given you the whole syllabus. Now it's your task to work hard. What do you need to do? That if, for example, you're doing something, you're going towards sin, and according to the Sharia, you're not following Sharia or the guidance of the Shaykh, you're not doing what's right and you're not leaving what's wrong, then what's happening? Then you have to please Allah, you don't please the Shaykh. Then consider that it's still something lacking in my dhikr, you need to increase your dhikr, do more dhikr. Until that wrong does not come out of your life, keep on doing more and more dhikr in your life. To wash away the impurities. That's the wahid one cure. Why am I not obeying my Shaykh? He said, this haram. Why don't I leave this haram? Why have I got greed for the world in my life? Why have I got this greed for dunya and material things? That I am a failure. Why? That I'm not fulfilling my objective. I'm not passing the test. I need to do something about this. So what's the one cure for this? وَذْكُرُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Until you attain success, keep on doing dhikr. Keep on doing dhikr. Keep on doing dhikr. And this is the translation of this verse. If you are not successful, don't leave the dhikr of Allah. So brothers, this is wrong. I'm doing wrong. I'm going towards anufal. No, this, do dua for me. You failed. That's a drama. He can never succeed, that person. You understand what I'm saying? So easy, simple deen. We need to go to a sheikh, a true wali Allah. We've got the signs of the wali Allah. When you arrive to a true teacher, sincere student, I swear by Allah, the Rabb of the Kaaba is a lie. It's a fraud if you're running after rewards if you don't practice this true deen. Impossible to attain rewards. Impossible. By earning haram, you cannot get the thawab on hajj. I tell you the truth, these are hadith. Why don't we have yakin on these words? Am I lying? Because I'm lying, I am haram, I do fraud, I cheat. How can I say that I'm getting thawab by practicing the deen if I've got a lifestyle of haram? Impossible. Impossible is a deception. It's a big deception of shaitan. Open your eyes wide, me as well, and everybody else as well. After doing wrong actions, al-nufal actions, haram actions, we cannot earn 1% thawab in any action. Thawab is far away from our lives. Subhanallah is enough. Once, if you say, it will fill your scale of deeds, fill it if you are doing the right in your life. How many people say subhanallah and their scale of deeds is filled? How many people? If I say to you, say subhanallah, you may sound beautiful. Why should I say this to you? Only that person's scale will be filled with reward if he has cleaned his batin. Why should I lie to you?
by saying this. Why should I lie to you? To please myself? To make my name, to make money, to elevate myself, I should lie to you and hide the true deen from you and just say wrong things? No, this is not the way. Those people, teachers, he himself is sick if he is misguiding the teachers. He is a liar. He is a fraudster. If you don't teach the students the right thing, that person is a liar. So never can a person get thawab if he is doing the wrong himself. May Allah Ta'ala, he will weigh the deeds like this. Such big deeds will be presented. Allah will say first, that did he do this action for me? Where are the deeds for me? He say, Allah, these all these deeds for you. You are lying. Allah says, you all did these deeds. Your Quran was riya. Your actions were riya. And Allah Ta'ala says that if you had done tazkiyah and purified your heart, if you had done tazkiyah, if you have done tazkiyah, then how can all these deeds be for me? All your actions showed you did all this for your name, for your pride, for your fame, for your glory. Did you clean your heart and your impurities inside? Did you clean your kibr? That did you have a sheikh who teach you that you could have gone to him, the nasiyah he gave to you, did you follow it? Did you follow the sheikh? Even the sheikh you took, oh, there's a sheikh in Japan, I heard he's a great sheikh, he's got great name, he does miracles for people, he does du'as for people, he's my sheikh. And we praise that person on the other side of the world, he's my sheikh, oh servant of Allah. Has it ever been that you're sick here in this country and you've got a doctor in India and you're sat in the UK? Have you ever seen a man like that? Who sat in the UK and he's got a doctor in India? That you're sat here and your doctor, your GP, general practitioner is in your village in India. Have you ever seen that? How can this be? How can this be? This is also enough that I want a big shot, Sheikh. Big title, lengthy titles. I'm his murid. I'll tell people, I'm a servant of Allah. We have to please Allah. If Allah wants, he'll give it to you a Sheikh wherever you are. Accept it. He can give you fares from anybody's dust on anybody's slippers. So is that fares coming to our life? We want to clean our hearts, our batin, reform our lives, improve our deen. So this is the message of today, that the days are passing, we're in tough times, difficult times, sicknesses are coming, diseases are coming, there's noise and facade in the world today. The whole world is jumping up and down. The time has come, we can see with our eyes, facade, disorder. Everything's evaporating in front of our eyes. Even today, we should do tawbah to Allah, change our lives. According to the Quran, we should keep our lives. And yes, do tilawah, recite the Quran, but do fikr on what you recited. How much amal have I done on what I've recited? Quran will give you the colors, the effects, the positive effects. Am I right or am I wrong, my brothers? Big statement, big points. This is the biggest learning, the biggest da'wah, the biggest deen. That myself, ourselves, we have to clean our inner state, our batin, our hearts. The way to clean our hearts, the means Allah has given, the teaching in the Quran, use those means. After that, then do amal. Do whatever amal you want after that. So many amal Allah has given, there's no limit. Infinite. Infinite. There's no limit. Deeds and rewards will come. Do tabligh, propagate the deen, durus, go to bayans, listen to the Quran, do talawa, do whatever you want. After you clean your inner state, then the colors will come into your life. That's the message of it. That's it. That's the message the Quran's given. May Allah Ta'ala give us to all the tawfiq to do amal on this. Ameen. Okay, let's recite the rutari. Remember, all the kalamat we're going to recite, this is our one niyyah that we want to reform our inner state. Remember this, this is the niyyah. We're set for this purpose. We have come to eliminate the dirt and impurity from inside us. We've come to do ghusl, that Allah remove the impurities from within us. After this, talk about thawab. Then we'll get the thawab, inshallah, and take as much thawab as you want. Every kalama, you'll get the thawab. There are so many untold thawabs for every kalama.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salam wa ala Sayyidina al-Mursaleen. شفيع المسلمين توعى ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي يسوع الشمعات وزرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا أصلنا وجدنا وخطونا عمدنا كل ذلك اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمتم وما اخرتم واسرتم واعلنتم واصفتم تعالى به انت المقدم وانت المؤخر لا اله الا انت لا اله انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا رحمن الرحيم ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما یا اللہ ہم سب کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ جو کچھ بھی آج تیری تو نے جو میرے مولا ہم سے سنوایا جو تو نے ہمیں میرے مولا ہمیں باتیں ہم تک پہنچائیں میرے مولا پہ فضل و کرم سے ان پر ہمیں عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا رحم یا کریم ہماری باتوں کو صاف و مصفہ فرما دے اے میرے مولا منافعت نکال دے تمام عیب ہمارے سینے سے نکال دے یا اللہ جو بھی وسائل کرنے کے لیے میرے مولا سارے وسائل ہمیں عطا فرما سارے اسباب ہمیں عطا فرما یا اللہ تمام اسباب کو ذریعہ میں عطا فرما میرے مولا ان پہ استقامت نصیب فرما پابندی نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا تیری مدد سے سب کچھ ہو سکتا ہے ولا حول ولا قوت الا باللہ یا اللہ تو ہمارے اس معاملات میں مدد فرما یا اللہ تو اپنی مدد فرما تو اپنے کرم فرما اور رحم فرما میرے مولا اور تمام غزائل سے ہمارے سینوں کو پاک فرما دے یا رحم الرحمین تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ تمام امت کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ تمام چیزوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما موذی بیماریوں سے یا اللہ جنات سے شرور سے فتن سے تمام چیزوں سے میرے مولا تو ہی سب سے بہتر حفاظت کرنے والا ہے یا اللہ تو ہی ہم تو درخواست کرتے ہیں میرے مولا اپنی پناہ عطا فرما یا اللہ تمام چیزوں سے جو حضرات اس وقت بیمار ہیں جنہوں نے اپنے بیماروں کے لیے دعا کے لیے کہا ہے ان کے لیے دعا فرمائے اللہ تعالیٰ کو شفا کاملہ عاجلہ سے فرمائے اور خصوص ہمارے جو ہلکے کے بیمار ہیں جو حضرات ان کے لیے بھی دعا فرمائے اللہ تعالیٰ کو جلد سے احتیاب کرے ان کی بیماریوں کو دور فرمائے اور ہمارے مسجد کے جو بڑے خادم ہیں سلمان قبلہ صاحب جو زندگی نے اپنی اس خدمت میں گزاری ہے ان کی اہلیہ شریک حیات آج اللہ کی رحمت میں پہنچ چکی ہیں ان کے لیے خاص دعا فرمائے اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے درجات کو بلند فرمائے آج قبر کی پہلی رات ہے یا اللہ اس پہلی رات ان کو وہ انعام عطا فرما کہ ان کی قبر جنت کی کیاری بن جائے اور خامد نے جو بھی خدمت کی مسجد کی اور جو انہوں نے تعاون کیا اس کے لیے اپنے خامد کے لیے میرے مولا آج وہ اپنی آنکھوں سے اس کا اجر دیکھ لیں میرے مولا یا اللہ ان کے درجات کو بلند فرما اور جو حضرات بھی مسجد کی خدمت کرتے ہیں جس انداز سے بھی جس درجے سے بھی اس تمام خدمات کو تو قبول فرما یا اللہ تمام خدمات کو تم کی قبول فرما یا اللہ اس مسجد کو آباد اور شاد فرما یا اللہ مسجدوں سے نمازیوں سے اس مسجد کو یا اللہ ہمیشہ پھول فرما یا کریم ہر فتنے سے ہر شر سے اس مسجد کو پاک اور صاف فرما یا اللہ اس گھر کی ہمیں تقدس عطا فرما ہمیں شکر عطا فرما ہمیں شکر گزار بندہ عطا فرما کہ تو نے اتنی عظیم شان ہمیں تو مسجد عطا فرمائی ہے اور جس میں بیٹھ کے ہم ذکر و شکر کرتے ہیں میرے مولا تیرا بڑا کرم ہے کہ تو نے ہمیں اتنی بڑی جگہ عطا فرمائی اپنے ذکر کے لیے جس مقصد کے لیے تو نے اس مسجد کو بنایا میرے مولا آج اس مسجد کو تو نے اسی طرح رونت بخشی ہے کریم یہ مسجد میں تیرے ذکر کرنے والے جماعت موجود ہیں میرے مولا یا اللہ سب نے ہاتھ پھیلائے ہوئے میرے مولا ان کو بھی ذاکر بنا دے ان کے خاندان والوں کو بھی ذاکر بنا دے ان کے اولادوں کو بھی ذاکر بنا دے یا اللہ ان سب کو جہاں جہاں دنیا کے اندر اس مجلس میں شامل ہیں اور ہاتھ اٹھائے ہوئے میرے مولا ان کے پورے خاندانوں کو ذاکر در ذاکر بنا دے یا اللہ تو اپنے فضل کرم سے اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے ان کی یاد کے صدقے سے میرے مولا ہماری ساری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و علیہ صاحب اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.